you stand with me and let's read the scripture that's found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and I'm looking at verses 9 through 13, a very familiar passage of scripture. It says, Jesus is talking, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This is the word of God. I want to talk a little bit this morning, and not long, I hope, about kingdom consciousness. Kingdom consciousness. And the crux of the matter is that we really need to, in a better way, understand the king, the kingdom, and our roles as citizens of the kingdom. So the last couple of weeks I've been talking about kingdom matters, and today I want to talk about kingdom consciousness. And I want to use the passage that was read in your hearing as a starting place for my thoughts this morning. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with verse 23, there's a verse which describes Jesus' ministry. It says there, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. That's the end of the verse. I want us to take notice of what the text says that Jesus preached. It says that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. A few weeks ago, I brought to our attention that the word gospel, and this is important, that the word gospel, which means good news, is used at least three different ways in the New Testament. The word gospel, which means good news, is used in at least three contexts in the New Testament. The first is that it identifies the first four books of the New Testament. That's the gospel, right? The first four books of the New Testament. These are the books, literary compositions about Jesus' life and ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We call those the Gospels. So the first way the word gospel is used in the New Testament is it identifies the first four books of the New Testament. And then in the Pauline epistles, that is the books and letters in the Bible and the New Testament that were written by Paul, the word gospel emphasizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Y'all got that?
Yeah.
So whenever Paul, in many cases, especially in his letters, when he mentions the word gospel, what he is talking about specifically is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, he writes these words, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you now stand, by which you were also saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you. And then he says, the gospel. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. So for the most part, the Apostle Paul uses the word gospel to refer to the work of salvation that is completed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Y'all follow me?
Yeah.
The third way that the word gospel is used claims our attention today. So as we can see in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and in many other places in the Gospels, John the Baptist and Jesus proclaim the good news or the gospel of the kingdom of God or the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, the core of Jesus' preaching and teaching ministry and most of the parables that he told were about the fact of the kingdom of God, that it has arrived on earth, that Jesus has ushered in the kingdom of God, and it is now active on the planet.
Amen.
The reason Jesus came teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God was to inform you and I, to inform us, and to empower us for kingdom living. Jesus never intended to create another religion. And as a matter of fact, the word religion really turns a number of conscientious people off. Because most of the world's problems happen as a result of religion. Jesus never intended to start a new religion. His goal was to usher in the kingdom of God so that you and I, as citizens of the kingdom, will know how to live a kingdom life on earth. Jesus Christ, our Lord, born in the stable in Bethlehem, heaven came to earth. In order to redeem us from the curse of the law, to reconcile us again to God the Father, and to restore us as God's image bearers. Now that's a word you're going to hear me use. I started using it last week. Image bearers, which is what we are supposed to be. God's image bearers on earth. And no doubt all this was accomplished through the substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. His blood was the price of our re-entry into the kingdom. Our faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in us has transformed us into new creations and afforded us the privilege of citizenship in the kingdom of God. Do y'all know how important and meaningful citizenship is? And if you can become citizens of the right kingdom, then opportunities are greater. Y'all know. Everyone on the border of the U.S. is trying to get into the U.S. for citizenship. But the real place where real citizenship is really meaningful is the kingdom of God. Because if you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter where on earth you live. Our faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, who is working in us right now, has afforded us the privilege of citizenship in the kingdom of God, and that citizenship is a reality and is available right now. When Jesus, in his model prayer in John and Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, he was teaching, his prayer was being taught from a kingdom perspective. So listen to what he said. He opens the prayer like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't miss that. That's kingdom perspective. The kingdom of God is to be on earth. The kingdom, the activities of God is to be done on earth as they are in heaven, but on earth by us. Our Father is Notice that Jesus did not ask God to take you to heaven. He said, he prayed that earth becomes an extension. That is, the Father's influence is to be exercised as it is in heaven on earth. And so Jesus, this, he continues to pray. He says, give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer for provision. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus says this also in the pericope when he talks about seek first the kingdom of heaven. That's later on in this same chapter. Jesus talks about your Father already knows what you need before you ask. And so he says, give us our daily bread when, you know, so your Heavenly Father, all he knows what you need, he knows when you need it, and he knows how much you need. So don't worry about the basic necessities of life, because in the kingdom and among the citizens, we have everything we need, and it's enough to meet every need. Now, I could preach a sermon on that. Just for an example, in this room right here, we have enough resources in as kingdom people. We have enough resources in this room right here so that everybody in this room right here can have an excellent quality of life. Yeah, we do. Because some of us right now got way more than we need. Way more than we need. And we put it up just in case we need it tomorrow. Amen. And tomorrow is not promised. And in this same space, there's some people, and you can't tell by the look on their face or what they're wearing, that have some desperate financial needs right now. And if we were truly kingdom people, there won't be any needs. Yeah. And we won't worry about tomorrow, because our Father in heaven has already promised he's going to take care of that. Yeah. The third section he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a prayer for personal development, which suggests that the Holy Spirit is in you and in me, and he's working to shape us. He is re-imaging. I know that's a computer term. I stole it from the computer people. They steal stuff from us. We can take some from them. Then he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And this is a closing summary of the king and the kingdom. Now, you got to stay with me this morning. This prayer, although it's a model, is a prayer that promotes kingdom consciousness. And maybe that's why Jesus taught the prayer before he gives us the priority of seeking first the kingdom in verse 33. To receive kingdom consciousness, one's spiritual eyes must be open to the possibility. And this work is begun in us by the Holy Spirit, who renews our minds. This is me. But you should be able to take something away. He renews our mind, because we lost kingdom consciousness in the fall in the Garden of Eden. Yes. So to get it back begins with an awareness of the person of the king, the power of the king, and the possessions of the king, and a knowledge of God the king. So the person of the king is our Father. That's real important. The power and authority is he exercises it from heaven. The rulership of the king means he is the authority, and the ownership of the king means he owns everything. So here it is. In the prayer, this prayer is not only designed as a model for prayer, but to reacquaint us with the king and the kingdom. Stay with me. Because, and you know, this whole talk of kingdom is foreign to us because we live in a republic and we practice democracy, or that's what we're supposed to be practicing. And in the democracy, the majority rule. And that's what we, even in our church, is, you know, it's majority rule. It's, you know, we vote and then the majority rule. But in a kingdom, that's not a democracy. No, there ain't no democratic process with a king. The king is the ultimate and only source of authority in his kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven, the authority of God, the king, is exclusive and absolute. That's why the old deacons say there's none beside him, there's none above him, he is God all by himself. His word is law. God does not change his mind concerning his law. I'm going to say that again, y'all. It is written in the book, and God does not change his mind. Now, you and I might rebel and think we have another idea, or think we have a different idea, or think we have a better idea, but God's word is his word, and his word is law. If you want to know how it's supposed to be done, look at the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven, which is the word of God. His word is law, and he does not change his mind concerning his law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to abolish the law. He fulfills the law on our behalf. Because in the mind of God, his law is still good. The king personally owns everything. Even you. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. It all belongs to God. You belong to God, I belong to God, and everything in our possession belongs to God. That's why he is Lord. He decides who gets what. Yes. Amen. 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 It's his decision who gets what. And ours as citizens of the kingdom to realize that it all belongs to him. Amen. See, that's why y'all ain't ready for this. The king's own debit. And then the king's citizenry represents his glory. Now I have 3 points, because I don't know, you know, I have 3 points and then I'm going on. So I'm saying this morning that as I read the Lord's Prayer in my study of the kingdom of God, that I understand the Lord's Prayer as that which prepares us to receive kingdom consciousness. And I want to make 3 points about kingdom consciousness. Number one, kingdom consciousness, your awareness of being a citizen of the kingdom and that God is your king is given through divine revelation. Wow. That reveals God as king. So there might be some people in here right now who can't get with this because it requires divine revelation. that God has to open your eyes in order for you to understand what is happening here. That He is our Heavenly Father, and that He is able and willing and has promised to provide for every need. That He is able to perfect me and protect me and preserve me in the process. That His resources are unlimited, and that He is omnipresent and omniscient. Kingdom consciousness is knowing that I am chosen by God and He cares for me. Kingdom consciousness is God revealing Himself to me every day through my life experiences. Now I should have some witnesses right there. Revealing Himself in His written word and revealing Himself as I give myself to prayer. How many of you have an experience this week, this past week, that you know that it was God revealing God's self to you? When you are a citizen of the kingdom, God's consciousness is just what you have. And that's why I know it might sound like a cliche, but you wake up in the morning with Jesus on your mind. And you go through the day praying and thanking God and praying for other people and praying for situations. And the only reason you do that is because you have a consciousness of the kingdom. How many of y'all see an accident and you drive by praying for somebody you don't even know? You don't know what happened. You don't know who's in fault. All you know is that your Father in heaven can make it right. Whatever the situation is, whether they are saved or not, you have an authority in heaven, an understanding in your mind that God is able to do the impossible. That's a kingdom. And we learn about it in the Word. And that's why it's important. I don't care how much you read, you should read a little bit of it every day. You got to read a little bit every day, because that's where God reveals Himself in His written form. He shows you how He is, and I walk with Him every morning. I thank God for the opportunity. And sometimes when I'm walking through with Him, especially through some of those Old Testament passages, I don't agree with Him. I'm sorry. I don't know why you let that happen. I'm sorry. Is anybody in here with me? Have you ever read anything in the Old Testament that was just knocked you back? And you can't see anything good in it? Well, you ain't supposed to, because that's the king's business. That's the king's business. And even though I don't agree, that's all right, because God's going to do what God's going to do, whether I agree with it or not. And the other thing is that God doesn't have anything behind Him except our sins. Everything else is in front of God. So He knows the beginning and the end. Nothing is hidden from God. He already knows how it's going to turn out before He acts, because He is God. So we have to walk with Him through His word, because that's where He reveals Himself. And you know what? When you walk with the King for a while, He will change the way you pray. He will change your prayer life. And prayer is critical to kingdom consciousness, because to keep communication open means that you are speaking with God and that you are silent long enough to allow God to speak to you. So prayer begins with acknowledging God our Father who is in heaven. And that's the beginning of kingdom consciousness. Y'all got that?
Yes.
So that's the beginning of kingdom consciousness. Now, I want to believe that many of us here already are there. And so this just reinforces what you already know, but provides information for those who do not. Amen.
Amen.
So why is kingdom consciousness important? Because kingdom consciousness gives birth to kingdom confidence. Confidence. Because when you are aware of the presence of God as King, your life reflects that. That's why some of y'all don't worry. That's why some of you can live one day at a time, don't worry about tomorrow, because you believe, you know that God's going to take care of us.
Amen.
So while other people are running around worried and nervous and anxious, you sitting back. Because you are confident that God got this thing and he's got you. And like we said last week, we know that all things work together for good. That's confidence. Confident that you have what it takes to overcome the challenges in your life. That's confidence. That you have what it takes to overcome the challenges in your life. Confident that with all that's going on in the world today, you are making a difference because of who's at work in you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I'm
yes.
Confidence that your faith is in the living God who has all power. And because your God lives and reigns, he has the last word. We are confident that his word is true and that God has proven himself to be trustworthy.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So I see our nation moving in a dangerous direction. And my prayer is, what can I do? What can we do as citizens of the kingdom? And my obligation is to live reflecting God even when my neighbor is flying a Confederate flag.
Oh my God.
Y'all didn't hear that?
Yes.
Pastor's praying what we can do as a whole. But my obligation as a citizen of the kingdom and a representative of the divine is to let my light shine, to let my love flow, even to my neighbor who is flying a Confederate flag. Now that don't mean I'm going to let you wash my car or clean my window. That don't mean I'm going to spend my money with you, this kingdom money. But my light will shine.
Yes.
You can curse me. I will not curse you.
Yes.
I'm not going to turn my back. I will walk away from a potential violent situation with my head up. Come on now. Because I know the Lord fights my battles. But he ain't put me here to be a doormat either. I'm obligated to protect the people inside my domain. Amen? I'm obligated to do that. I'm obligated. Now, you can come in and take everything. You can take it all. Everything can be replaced. I'll be in my bedroom with the people. You do what you're going to do. I'm going to call the police. But if you come through this bedroom door, that's another matter altogether. Because I got some valuables in here that can't be replaced. And I just have to go down protecting those valuables. But since my confidence is in the one who is able to turn things around, I can live with confidence. Since I know that I'm never alone and that I'm able to do all that God has placed in my heart to do, I can live with confidence. Since I know that my life is in line with his plan and purpose, I can live with confidence. And because I am confident that our God is sovereign and that he has made me a citizen of the kingdom with all of the rights and responsibilities, the benefits and the blessing that causes me to live differently and think differently and respond differently to people and problems, my confidence is in my King. So I live with confidence. You can shut the door. I don't care because I have a God that can open it. You can put a glass ceiling, that's all right, because I've got a God that knows how to break glass ceilings.
with confidence. You walk with your back straight. You walk with your head up. I don't care where you are. You are a child of the King. And you've got resources at your disposal. So live a kingdom life. Amen. Oh, y'all, come on. I punch in. And I get my paycheck from you. And I owe you 40 hours. And that's all. You don't own me. And the reason you are paying me is because that's what my Father has in mind. Y'all getting this? And if you stop, there's another avenue. Living confidence means you are not afraid. That you are not afraid. Y'all got the faith to do that? You got the faith to live like that? This third thing enough. Kingdom confidence leads to kingdom conduct and character. Kingdom consciousness, kingdom confidence leads to kingdom conduct and character. So it's through your conduct and character, through your conduct and character that you represent your King to the world. It's through your conduct and character that you represent your King in the world. That's why you don't need to be religious. Because being religious, you have to work too hard. But if you are a citizen of the Kingdom of God, and God is at work in you, He's doing the work.
That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
That's why some people in church get frustrated and quit. Because they can't live up to the religious hurdles that y'all put in front of them. They can't reach those out. I just go back where I was. Kingdom character. Jesus said it like this: you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. He said, you are the light of the world. So it is His life in you that gives light. So let your light shine. It's through our conduct and character that we influence the world. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus tells a parable. This was one verse. He says, it's the parable of leaven. Y'all heard that parable? The parable of yeast. You heard that? The parable of yeast. He said a woman put a little yeast, a little leaven in meal, and left it there, and it leavened the whole loaf. And that's the way you're supposed to be. Wherever God placed you, you're supposed to leaven the whole loaf.
Amen.
That's influence. That's influence, the whole world. Now I'm going to make a bold statement, and I'm finished with this statement. And I pray that you hear it with wisdom. Citizens of God's kingdom are supposed to show what their King is like by the way they live, act, dress, walk, talk. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Kingdom citizens are to respond to the needs of the poor, the marginalized, orphans, and widows. Kingdom citizens are to reflect the nature and character of their King, who is righteous, just, benevolent, compassionate, and full of joy. This is why there is no poverty in heaven and no injustice.
Amen. Amen.
There is no economic crisis in the kingdom but there's also no greed. Y'all not getting this. There are no shortages in the kingdom of heaven, but there is no selfishness either. Y'all not getting this. Here's what King David said. The Lord upholds the righteous. I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor exceed their iniquity. You need to be kingdom people in the United States of America today. Because the only way people will know that God is when they see him in you.